Point blank, the announcement is that we're solving the illiquidity challenge with Bitcoin mining.
Within 24 hours, the rig that you purchase is hashing to your wallet. It eliminates the issue that I just explained of, oh, you know, the rigs are coming from Asia, so I got to wait, you know, a month for Bitmain to put them on a ship. And then they got to come, you know, it takes months or weeks to get the rigs hashing to you. So this kind of eliminates that issue as well with the lead time.
This is an epic strategy for retail miners who've really struggled to get reliable, turnkey hash rate. It's an opportunity to come in and be able to buy Bitcoin mining rigs in increments as small as one, you know, be able to make a fully informed decision based off of transparent rig performance with effectively zero lead time.
The three problems: illiquidity, lead times, and transparency. You know, like you mentioned, the Blockware marketplace is solving these issues.
Introducing the Blockware Marketplace. Start mining Bitcoin today. This has the potential to transform the mining industry, as now anyone can buy a Bitcoin ASIC using on-chain or Lightning, see its historical and live hash rate before purchasing, and be earning Bitcoin mining rewards in minutes. This brings transparency and turnkey mining to a whole other level. Start mining Bitcoin today at marketplace.blockwaresolutions.com.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Blockware Intelligence Podcast. This week I have on two special guests. One is Danny Condon, who's Chief Revenue Officer here at Blockware Solutions. And then two is Blake Davis, our macro analyst and account executive. Danny, Blake, welcome to the podcast.
Hey Joe, thanks for having us on. Good to be here, man.
Great to be here. Great to be back.
Absolutely. Yeah, Blake, you were just on like 2 weeks ago, so glad to have you back. Really close. Let's kick this right off. Danny, how do you think about Bitcoin mining today?
Yeah, so I think, you know, really what we're going to get into, we're going to go down a bit of a, you know, rabbit hole today with analyzing Bitcoin mining more from a capital allocation perspective. So I think the way I'd answer that question is in the context of how does a typical investor or somebody who's looking to, you know, allocate capital into Bitcoin mining think about the opportunity, right? Now, historically, and kind of, you know, up until just about present day, and one of the things we're going to announce here is where we think a lot of the future can be moving. But it's actually fairly simple, right? The way folks think about this is you are making a, you know, relatively significant CapEx into buying ASICs, right? And then you are deploying those ASICs. You have an operating cost, which is, you know, 90%+ just the electricity that the machines consume. And by doing that, there's a spread between your cost, you know, the electricity that you consume, and the revenue, which is the Bitcoin, or if you want to dollarize, you know, the whole thing, the dollarized value of the Bitcoin that is being generated, of course, in Bitcoin, right? And the investment dynamic is you kind of start with this big sunk cost, if you will, in the CapEx, because if these machines aren't plugged in, you know, hashing Bitcoin, they're just, you know, hunks of metal, right? Now, the strategy is that you're effectively arbitraging energy to arbitrage Bitcoin by creating Bitcoin at a discount to the spot value of Bitcoin, you know, at any given time. And that spread moves based on different market dynamics. You know, let's assume your energy is a fixed, you know, it's at a fixed price just for argument's sake, so that your cost side is going to be constant, you know, on a dollarized basis. Your revenue is going to be variable based on Bitcoin price and difficulty at any given time, right? Now, the strategy is if everybody could mine Bitcoin, or if everybody could create Bitcoin or if everybody could buy Bitcoin at a discount to the spot market, everybody would do that, right? Like, discounts are great. So you get that opportunity by effectively going long Bitcoin in this strategy where you have this on CapEx, you are creating a, you know, profit on a constant basis as your dollar cost averaging in a Bitcoin by constantly and perpetually mining Bitcoin. And eventually, as you look back historically, your overall ROI on a, you know, 3+ year period has historically outpaced, you know, the return that you would otherwise have gotten had you just bought Bitcoin, right? So there's a number of different things. People love, you know, the dollar cost averaging aspect of it and effectively arbitraging Bitcoin. But it does come at the trade-off, if you will, when looking at this versus just buying Bitcoin, in the sense that you do have this, you know, theoretically big sunk CapEx on the front end. That's kind of the way that, you know, we see folks and how I view Bitcoin mining from an investment standpoint.
Absolutely. On that note, I guess, what do you think is the biggest problem in Bitcoin mining today?
Yeah, I mean, just piggybacking on that, like, basically the illiquidity of your, you know, associated with your CapEx, right? Because let's think about this. It's logical to assume that if you, so you have a sunk cost into buying ASICs, right? Now that's an asset, and I like to, you know, it's a dividend paying asset, but that's an asset that creates an asset. The asset that's being created is Bitcoin. Now, if Bitcoin goes up in price, or, you know, theoretically just outpaces price, outpaces difficulty, it's logical to assume that that ASIC will also appreciate in value, right? And as you look at history, like look at S19J Pros, for example, they were, you know, approximately $1,500 when they were released a few years ago. Bull market, they ran up to like $10,000, $12,000 sell price, and now they're back down around $2,000, right, after hitting a floor around $1,300, $1,400. So the point being, you have a, there's a lot of opportunity to get an appreciation in the value of, you know, effectively what was once your CapEx. Now, if there's no liquid market to sell those rigs into, then that's just a nice paper gain, right? But if there is a liquid market and you time everything perfectly, you know, just to play a little moon math here, you buy rigs at $2,000 when they're worth $7,000. Yes, by the way, you're mining Bitcoin this whole time, so you're lowering your cost basis. But if you have the option then to sell those rigs and get liquidity where a lot of your CapEx is concentrated, that totally, you know, changes the fundamental, you know, optionality in the investment thesis. So I'd say, just to answer the question, you know, very directly, Joe, I think the biggest challenge and oftentimes a hindrance for some bigger, more agile, you know, capital allocators to participate in Bitcoin mining is that in the absence of liquidity on, you know, the rig side, it kind of looks like, you know, like a long, you know, capital lockup period investment. And that can theoretically deter some investors who are not interested in that kind of, you know, cash flowing, you know, investment. So I think point blank liquidity on the rig side, you know, where you have a significant amount of your CapEx concentrated, is the biggest challenge to, you know, approaching Bitcoin mining as a, you know, capital allocation strategy.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's interesting thinking about how you can log into Robinhood or E-Trade or Charles Schwab and, you know, immediately buy like $10 million worth of Coca-Cola. But it's like, if you want to get into the Bitcoin mining industry, yeah, you could buy a public miner, but then you have, you know, management risk, you have their operational risk, you may be buying part of a hosting business, you may be buying a bunch of different things. Whereas it'd be really cool if you could just log into Robinhood or something else and literally buy an ASIC and have it hashing within minutes. So yeah, I definitely agree that being, having rigs like illiquid and not really being able to do much with them in a very fast, quick amount of time is definitely a problem with Bitcoin mining today. Blake, I want to hear what you think. What do you think is the biggest problem in Bitcoin mining today?
Yeah, I would say, you know, number one, Danny stole my answer. I would go for, you know, rig side liquidity. I think being able to capitalize on CapEx gains or the hardware gains is super important. I would say number two for me is probably lead times. And I'm talking about hosted mining here. So what I mean by lead time is the time it takes from the moment you place your order with a hosting provider until that rig is hashing into your wallet. So generally speaking, you're going to have a lead time ranging from maybe 2 weeks to maybe 6 months in certain situations. So it depends on where your rigs are being sourced from. If you're buying new rigs through a hosting provider from, you know, a manufacturer like Bitmain based out of Asia, then you have to wait for them to put your rigs onto a pallet, ship them to the United States. Then from that port that they enter the country in, they have to be sent to, you know, the mine, you know, the data center. Then they have to be placed on the rack, energized. They might have to run some diagnostics. They might have to clean the machines, whatever. It takes a lot of time for the moment, from the moment you purchase until the rig is actually hashing to your wallet. The issue is Bitcoin obviously moves 24/7. And as Danny just explained, the value of the hardware is very closely correlated to the spot price of Bitcoin. So let's say, you know, maybe it takes 4 months for your rig to actually begin hashing in your wallet from the moment that you paid the hosting provider. If Bitcoin's down, let's say Bitcoin, you know, fell 20% in those 4 months, then you're basically stuck on this unrealized loss on the hardware side, and you also weren't earning any Bitcoin during the period. So you're already sitting at a loss to begin with, you know, more so than you already would just from the initial capital outlay. And on the flip side, if Bitcoin started ripping, but you weren't hashing during that period, yes, you got to, you know, you get to capitalize on the CapEx gain, on the hardware gain, the, you know, the value of your ASIC, but you didn't earn any Bitcoin during that period. So you didn't get to, you know, have the value of the spot Bitcoin appreciating as well. So I would say, you know, lead times are significant and probably the number two issue for me behind illiquidity.
Yeah, I think those are some really good points. I think for me, the third largest issue with Bitcoin mining is really just like a lack of transparency, right? Like we've seen so many people, retail, private, and even like public miners kind of get burned just not knowing like, hey, are the rigs that I'm buying legit? Are they going to be hashing in a certain amount of time? Are they working at the full hash rate? Are the rewards going to get paid out to your pool? And then is the pool going to pay out to, you know, your actual Bitcoin wallet? So I think there's been like an extreme lack of transparency in the Bitcoin mining space. And I think, you know, there are players in the market that are working to improve this. And so I think the audience may know that we've been kind of hinting at something for this podcast. Danny, do you want to know, or do you want to let the audience know, like, what is the announcement that we have today?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. So, and Joe, you nailed it. We've been hinting at this for a little time and we've been doing a lot behind the scenes, but we're really psyched to announce that we are going live. We are live, but we're going live in a public capacity with, Blockware's Bitcoin mining rig marketplace, which is a Bitcoin native circular economy themed Lightning transaction enabled marketplace, where it provides the option but not obligation for folks, you know, at this point that are hashing in Blockware's facilities, with the, again, the option but not obligation to list their miners for sale and also participate in buy side, right? So we'll unpack this a little bit, probably much further as we go forward. But point blank, the announcement is that we're solving the illiquidity challenge with Bitcoin mining and providing significant optionality to the market to, you know, be able to trade Bitcoin mining rigs, which again have a market efficiency dictated spot value at any given time, which we think is quite frankly just a game changer.
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess those three problems that we were mentioning, the illiquidity, the lead times, and the lack of transparency, effectively get solved by the Blockware marketplace. I guess, can you guys, either Danny or Blake, dive a little bit further into how this marketplace actually solves those three problems?
Yeah, Blake, what you want to fire away and I can kind of add on?
Yeah, totally. So the three problems, illiquidity, lead times, and transparency, you know, like you mentioned, the Blockware marketplace is solving these issues, you know, for miners who, you know, across the world. So on the illiquidity side, you know, obviously, you know, this is a marketplace. So rigs are listed for sale. Miners have the ability, not the obligation to, but the option to list their rigs for sale if they so wish. So, you know, this allows you to capitalize on the hardware gains or the CapEx gains, where you're allowed to set, you know, the bid price for your, or the ask price for your rig. So if you decide that, hey, maybe you have five miners and you want to, you know, take some profit, and maybe you want to get rid of one of your miners, or maybe you want to sell all five, whatever the situation is, it allows you to list your rig for sale. And then other people in the Blockware ecosystem who are looking to buy rigs at the time, you know, can take that miner off your hands. On the lead time side, I think this is the most exciting thing, at least to me, about the Blockware marketplace, is the idea that these rigs are turnkey. So, you know, what we mean by that is these rigs are already hashing at a Blockware facility in the United States. Most of them are located in Kentucky. So if you're someone who, you know, if Danny's going on and wants to buy, he connects his wallet to his marketplace account. He goes on and buys, you know, XP or whatever he wants. All we have to do is our ops team is just going to reassign the payouts from the seller's wallet into your wallet. Now, sometimes there's a backlog and it's not exactly instantaneous, but within 24 hours, the rig that you purchase is hashing to your wallet. It eliminates the issue that I just explained of, oh, you know, the rigs are coming from Asia, so I got to wait, you know, a month for Bitmain to put them on a ship. And then they got to come, you know, it takes months or weeks to get the rigs hashing to you. So this kind of eliminates that issue as well with the lead time. And then finally, with the transparency on the Blockware marketplace, you can view the historical performance of your ASIC. So, you know, maybe, you know, not all ASICs are made equal, right? They can have slight, you know, nuanced differences in their performance, and you get to see that. So if you click on a rig and maybe the, you know, the hash rate is kind of all over the place, and that's not what you're looking for. So, you know, you can pass on that one, look at another one, and you find one who's got a, you know, a steady hash rate hovering around, you know, whatever it is, 100 terahash, for example. That, you know, then you know that rig historically has performed well and it doesn't have the hardware issues that maybe some other rigs have. And if you're buying, you know, a rig whose performance can't be viewed, like historically speaking is the case with hosted mining, then you're kind of taking a gamble that that rig's not going to have performance issues down the road. And, you know, worst cases is you buy a rig and then in 2 weeks you get a message saying, hey, you know, we need to replace the entire hashboard or something like that. So, you know, the Blockware marketplace is effectively solving these three, you know, major issues with mining that, you know, we've just explained.
Thinking back from like my journey with Blockware, I started working at Blockware at the end of 2021. I was a Blockware client starting like near the beginning of 2020. I remember buying my first rig for me, like either Mason or Matt at the time, and got my rig hashing and mined Bitcoin for, you know, well over a year. And during like the bull market early 2022, I was like, you know what, I'm going to try to sell it. So I sold it on eBay just to get some cash at the time, sold it for significantly more than I purchased the machine for back in 2020, which is kind of mind blowing if you think like a computer actually gained value, but it did. And I mined a ton of Bitcoin during that time. And it was a very difficult process though. And it was like very time consuming and like eBay wasn't like super easy to work with. And yeah, I'm super excited about this Blockware marketplace because I think as someone that would have loved to have used it in the past, I think now that having access to it is fantastic. So kind of going into our next question, I think Danny, you could maybe take this one, is I've seen people like talk about this, like, is this cloud mining? What do you have to say about that?
Yeah, I mean, the short answer is no, right? And the primary difference is you're not buying or renting or hedging hash rate. And I'm not saying that's not a, you know, reasonable strategy. What you're doing is you're actually taking, you know, physical possession and or at least ownership, right? Because it's still in a co-located capacity of the actual underlying asset, which is the ASIC, right? So you retain, of course, all of the yield associated with that because it's yours. And then also you retain the right to resell or not, you know, that the ASIC. So certainly different than cloud computing.
Foundation is one of my favorite Bitcoin companies. Their product Passport is one of the best Bitcoin hardware wallets on the market. It is air-gapped and highly secure. I strongly encourage you to go to foundationdevices.com and use the code Blockware and get $10 off your Passport. It's a great way to easily and securely store the private keys to your Bitcoin. Danny, how do you envision Blockware clients using the Blockware marketplace?
Yeah, so take one step back. I think that when you provide mutual benefit and opportunity to you know, buyers and sellers, to both sides of an exchange of anything, when incentives are aligned and they're mutually incentivized for both strategies, that's kind of the perfect scenario. So I think, you know, first and foremost, as we've been hitting on, this is an epic strategy for retail miners who've really struggled to get reliable, you know, turnkey hash rate. It's an opportunity to come in and be able to buy Bitcoin mining rigs in increments as small as one, you know, be able to make a fully informed decision based off of transparent rig performance with effectively zero lead time, right? That's super novel. And the market's efficient, right? So the market is going to dictate, buyers are going to dictate, you know, reasonable sell prices. And sellers are going to be market makers that, you know, make, they're the ones who are putting out the ask. So I think it's massively beneficial and game changing from, you know, a buy perspective, especially for retail focused buyers. But I also think that if you look at the sell side, and this is a, you know, economic theory that's as old as time, is the concept of economies of scale discount, right? So because markets are efficient, if you are buying, you know, 500 rigs, you're going to get better unit pricing because of the economies of scale in which you can buy with than somebody who would be buying one machine. Now that's just, market efficiency kind of 101. So if you think about, you know, this is kind of still a novel concept, Bitcoin mining in general, it provides this opportunity for not only retail buyers to get, you know, access to immediate turnkey, you know, mining opportunities, but it provides market makers, liquidity providers, bigger buyers with the option to basically take advantage of economies of scale arbitrage opportunities. Right now, we're not saying like buy rigs, sell rigs. We're immensely bullish on Bitcoin mining. I think that this is like the best time ever for incumbent miners to be set up to win as we go into the next, you know, 18, 24, 36 plus months. But, you know, if you can buy S19J Pros at $16 a T because you're buying 500 of them, and then the sell price is $22 a T, irrespective of the fact that you're, you know, mining Bitcoin and constantly lowering your dollar cost basis, it does provide a good market maker, liquidity provider, arbitrage opportunity. So I think the beautiful thing here is it's opportunistic for big players to facilitate liquidity, which creates an opportunity then for, you know, retail players or even bigger players that are buying in, you know, smaller chunks or whatever the strategy might be to get access to turnkey rigs. So in this case, everybody wins, and it's happening in a circular economy basis. So I'll just say one more thing and then I'll get off the soapbox. We got to go back to the fact that, like, and this was very important for us in the design. This is, you know, Bitcoin. You're buying with Bitcoin. If you're selling, you're getting paid in Bitcoin. A lot of your CapEx is tied up, you know, in the rig. So if your objective in mining Bitcoin is to stack the most Bitcoin as fast as possible, then, you know, and traditional strategy, which we're very bullish on, is a longer term, you know, dollar cost averaging, arbitraging Bitcoin strategy. That's great. But if you could pull that ROI forward because you're transacting and making a gain on your hardware, right, and getting to a 30, 40%, whatever that, you know, gain might be based on where you bought and where you sold, and you're getting paid in Bitcoin, you're basically just pulling your ROI forward by, in, you know, most cases, years, 2, 3, 4 years, right? And then, you know, you can come up with whatever strategy you prefer, but, you know, it's very logical to redeploy the principal and take some off the table, you know, diversify. I think, you know, we'll leave it to capital allocators to decide what they want to do with their own money, as we're not providing, you know, investment advice. But I just think that it's really cool because both sides, buyers and sellers, have massive opportunities, and incentives are aligned. And it's a Bitcoin circular economy, which is what we all want.
Yeah. If I could just jump in.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, Joe. I think one thing that Danny mentioned that I think is immensely important and really exciting about the marketplace is the fact that there's no MOQ on these orders. So historically speaking, you know, Blockware sells rigs with a minimum order quantity, an MOQ. So unless you're someone with, you know, $20,000 per se, you know, you might not have had the opportunity to be involved in the Blockware ecosystem, but using the marketplace, you know, you can buy one rig if you want. And obviously, you know, the price of that one rig depends on, you know, the model and a lot of, you know, market factors as well. But the fact that there's no MOQ just opens the Blockware ecosystem of a data facility owned and operated, you know, by us. So without the compounding counterparty risk, it opens that ecosystem up to a wide variety of people who maybe historically didn't have, you know, $20,000 sitting around to get involved with mining.
Yeah, absolutely. Another cool feature that's on the marketplace that I think the audience might like is we have like the ability to list your rigs in dollar terms or Bitcoin terms. So some people may like, okay, I want to, you know, get 1.1 Bitcoin out of this rig, or I want to get, you know, $3,000 out of this rig. And as the price of like the actual price of Bitcoin like goes up and down, then like those ask orders kind of like stay the same or change depending on like which unit of account you're looking at. So like if someone lists their rig for, you know, $3,000 and the price of Bitcoin just starts crashing, then that rig in Bitcoin terms is very cheap at that point. It might make sense for someone that's trying to stack more Bitcoin to buy the rig, and then like vice versa. So like it kind of creates like different opportunities to where like if someone's trying to stack more dollars, you might be able to capitalize on the Bitcoiners. And if there's Bitcoiners trying to stack more Bitcoin, that might create opportunities to, you know, take Bitcoin from the dollar people. Go ahead, Danny.
Agreed, man. No, I was just say, I personally love it when they're priced in dollars and Bitcoin goes on, you know, a 20% green candle day. And, you know, so I point totally agreed with, and it works both ways, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's very interesting. It's going to be interesting to see as like this actually goes live and is public to, you know, more than a few hundred people of existing Blockware clients, which are using the marketplace today. It's going to be interesting to see how people use it and, you know, the different strategies that people, you know, deploy. I think it's going to be fascinating. Danny, this may be another question for you. So we have the Blockware marketplace now. By the time this podcast airs, it will be live. Can other mining facilities like reach out to Blockware and potentially integrate into the Blockware marketplace?
Short answer is yes. And I'll unpack it a little bit. Now our vision is seamless trading of ASICs as, you know, commodities, right? For just call it spade a spade, and commodities are traded in big volumes across the world in a number of different assets, or, you know, corn, soy, gold, oil, you name it, right? Commodity trading is not a new concept, but seamless trading of ASICs as commodities on one platform across multiple facilities, right? Now, the reality is we are going to be very judicious on this path forward. So short answer to your question is yes, absolutely. And we're looking for, you know, incremental liquidity providers. And, you know, again, we can talk about the benefit for those folks and maybe jam on some of the, you know, reasons why that would be valuable for other, you know, kind of outside of Blockware ecosystem hosting providers to hop on. But I will also just say that counterparty risk is a real thing, right? And if you want to completely eliminate counterparty risk, doesn't mean you're mitigating all of your risk. You're just owning all of the risk personally. And the biggest risk in mining Bitcoin is effectively execution risk, right? So, but let's just say that, you know, participants of in this ecosystem and Blockware's ecosystem, like, are looking for co-located hosting opportunities because for a million, you know, reasonable, good reasons, they don't want to go build their own facility. It's expensive. It takes time, so on and so forth. So what we've seen, you know, the last 18 months is like not only just in mining, but in, you know, Bitcoin and even the obviously the broader crypto ecosystem is counterparty risk is, you know, something that people need to be mindful of. So we take pride and frankly, a major benefit in working with Blockware is in the fact that you only have one layer of counterparty risk when working with Blockware. you know, to the 97th percentile. We do have, you know, one co-located facility, but we own and operate these facilities. So your execution obligation is squarely on Blockware. Whereas, you know, in other cases, there's this concept of compounding counterparty risk. Whereas, you know, folks may take orders and they may, you know, basically, you know, collateralize that execution obligation and shop it out to a third party site. I don't think that's a bad model. It just goes back into risk management. So for the immediate term, our plan is to, you know, limit the marketplace to rigs that are hashing in the Blockware ecosystem while we perform and put together plans, you know, perform due diligence, put together plans to make sure that hosting providers that we bring on are up to a very, very high standard so that we're not bringing on, you know, extra unwarranted incremental counterparty risk, right? It's kind of a long speech, but like basically the net of it is crawl, walk, run. It's a novel product. We want to control as much as we can because that mitigates as much risk as possible. But, you know, going forward, like there's no reason why this, that rigs should not be able to be traded as commodities because there's a spot value and people trade commodities every day.
Yeah, I think that was really well said. And I think the key thing that makes this really work is the transparency. Like you can see where your, like where your rig is, if it's been hashing over the last 30 days, if it's not been hashing, like, is it even online at the moment? And like that kind of, you know, gives more clarity in as to like, hey, if I buy this rig, like, is it even going to work? Like, am I going to make money or is it just never going to come and be deployed? So I think the fact that you can see it and you can like visualize what has been happening to that rig over the last 30 days is like a critical game changer.
Yeah, Joe, I'm just going to add one thing there real quick on the back of this is I'm talking about trading rigs as commodities as an analogy to trading any other commodity as a commodity. What's super dope about this, about rig trading, is you are constantly getting a cash flow from that while your rig is waiting to be sold, right? You set the buy price. It's like if I go buy corn, I mean, you know, there's hedge strategies. I'm not going to get into all the details here, but you're not generating like a yield on that necessarily. So what's super awesome is like we're bullish on Bitcoin mining. Bitcoin mining is a great strategy. This is just Bitcoin mining with incremental optionality. So theoretically or literally, you're constantly lowering your cost basis on the asset or commodity in this example, while waiting to take, you know, a gain if the buy side meets your sell side. So I think like there's just all these little intricacies that make this super, you know, opportunistic.
Yeah, definitely. This may be a question more for Blake. Does like, you know, adding liquidity to Bitcoin mining rigs, does this potentially change like corporate strategy within the Bitcoin mining industry? Like I know I have some thoughts on this, but I'd love to hear what you think.
Yeah, I think, you know, absolutely it can change that corporate strategy. And I think the best example that, you know, comes to mind off the top of my head is kind of the CleanSpark model. And we've talked about this on the podcast. And if you listen to our Twitter spaces that we do every Friday, we talk about this a bunch and talk about the newsletter a bunch. But essentially, CleanSpark's model from the 2020 to 2021 bull market was to sell Bitcoin on the way up. So instead of the mine and hold strategy that most public miners and most large miners implemented, the CleanSpark model was the mine and sell model, building up a ton of cash reserves so that when the market turns and Bitcoin starts falling and the value of the rig start falling and all these disastrous things that happened that really screwed over a lot of public miners or just large miners in general, CleanSpark had a bunch of cash. So instead of having to capitulate rigs and try to build up cash when the value of their assets have greatly depreciated, they just started buying up the mines and or the rigs of the people who had to capitulate. So generally speaking, you know, or historically speaking, you had the ability to like capitalize on the liquidity of Bitcoin, but not of your rigs, because, you know, like we've talked about, it's pretty hard, you know, comparatively to find a seller for your rigs, right? until now, right? So what you can do now, and when the market turns, you know, which is inevitably going to happen. Obviously, timing is, you know, the big question, and I wish I could tell you when that'll be. But you're now going to have the ability to capitalize on the CapEx gains. So if you want to, you know, buy a bunch of rigs in the depths of a bear market like now, and then once the market starts ripping up, you can maybe sell some of the Bitcoin if you want to build up cash, but you can also sell rigs to build up cash that way. So I think, you know, in terms of corporate strategy, this is a game changer, because 2022 was just eye-opening to the entire mining industry. And I think that a few miners like CleanSpark, for example, you know, really there was a spotlight shown on them. And they're like, you know, these guys were thinking ahead, right? They understood that bull markets don't last forever. So I think that heading into this next bull market, whenever that's going to be, people's or miners' attitudes are probably going to change, and people are going to be a lot more cautious than they were before. So now with the opportunity to capitalize on CapEx liquidity, I think it's a total game changer.
Yeah, very well said. I mean, I don't have too much to add there. You hit the nail on the head. It's like during 2020 or 2021 specifically, we saw all these public miners not try to sell any of the Bitcoin they mined, you know, at 60K. Go leverage long, take out as much debt as possible, and just like pray Bitcoin keeps going up, and not even consider like, hey, what happens if we actually go into a bear market? And then we saw, you know, a lot of people get wrecked. And so, yeah, I think like this just adds another option for public miners, for private miners, for retail miners. It's like, if you can sell the Bitcoin that you're mining for cash, why shouldn't you be able to sell the actual mining rig for cash as well? And if you own the hosting, the infrastructure, then this basically, you can turn the rig that you sell into some recurring revenue that kind of eliminates volatility. I mean, you look at all the public miners, you know, Riot has, you know, a diversified portfolio of self-mining, and then they also have hosting, and it kind of makes sense to weather Bitcoin's extreme volatility with some of the self-mining, so you get a lot of the upside, but then also be able to withstand the drawdowns and get some hosting revenue when the price of Bitcoin is in the deep, dark bear markets that it inevitably goes to at some points.
Yeah, Joe, that's you just hit on an interesting, I agree with everything you're saying. And Blake, I think you just put it super elegantly. So just to add on to that, look at the core business model of like public or even just large self-miners. Which I'm bullish on, but it's like not a unbelievably sexy dynamic business model. It's basically like you want to get enough scale to get your cost as low as you can, which means, you know, buy huge allocations of machines so you get your cost basis on your CapEx down, and you want to get cheap power, right? And then there's some optionality there about capital efficiency. So you see like Riot on one hand, you know, builds their facilities or grows, you know, inorganically through acquisition of facility, you know, so they have higher CapEx on infrastructure, but their trade-off is they, you know, theoretically get lower energy prices because they, you know, are vertically integrated. And then you look at like a Marathon, for example, where they might lean more towards a co-located, you know, theoretically more capital efficient model where they're putting their capital towards machines, you know, but they don't have, you know, the infrastructure at the same scale. You know, they might pay a little bit higher for their energy, but, you know, they've got more money to put towards hash rate, right? It's kind of just like a steal by the ton. Who can control their costs and get the most hash rate? Optimize those two variables relative to your specific strategy. Now, I think this provides, you know, an immense opportunity, as you mentioned, Joe, to diversify revenue streams, right? Like, hey, if I can get liquidity to bootstrap incremental, you know, infrastructure expansion, right? By selling rigs, I make the money. And I've, let's just say, because I've been lowering my cost basis, I've got, you know, I'm keeping 100% of the profits of the rigs that I'm selling. I roll that into building out incremental infrastructure, right? And then what I'm doing is I'm selling those, and I'm now taking on hosting clients that are going to give me, you know, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, whatever percent spread on your power versus your hosting, right? It's, it's a great protection lever, and it's also a way to bootstrap liquidity for further expansion. So I think as as we bring to market more liquidity options for traditional self miners, it's going to open up a lot of interesting strategies that can be super opportunistic and just add more dimensions to the way that these otherwise kind of unilaterally focused organizations that have almost complete unilateral exposure or correlation to Bitcoin and difficulty, less cost controls and capital allocation amounts, to just kind of fortify. And if there's one thing I think for sure, it's like Bitcoiners and Bitcoin miners learned a lot in 2022, right? Because you come on the back of this massive bull run, and I can't remember the quote from the movie below, but it's like, when you're up, it's never as good as it seems. And when you're down, you never think you're going to be up again. That's human psychology. It's not going anywhere. You just got to swim against that and try to fortify yourself. And now getting this liquidity enables a lot more optionality.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, just talking out loud here, I think this is how like energy companies will more likely break into the Bitcoin mining industry. Like, they don't want to buy, 10,000 ASICs and bet on the price of Bitcoin going to $100,000. I could see them they have this power plant, they have this extra energy that they, just have. They see that, hey, I can borrow, $1 million, buy a bunch of ASICs, and then list these ASICs for sale on the Blockware marketplace or something else. And then all of a sudden they capture that hosting spread, which is just selling their extra energy that they had to, a buyer, which are these Bitcoin miners, which are, anyone transacting and buying these rigs on the Blockware marketplace. So yeah, I think it's going to be fascinating to see like how this plays out over the next 5-10 years.
I totally agree on the energy company front. I mean, first of all, energy companies are historically slow moving, conservative, long return, small margin, long return, that's how they raise project finance capital. Their mandate, their objective is to make the most money on their energy in the most predictable capacity. That's how you go raise $1 billion to build 1,000 megawatt, gas turbine fired power production facility, right? So if they can, very simply, their objective is to get a higher margin on the product that they sell, which is energy. Now it's like super cool, and us as Bitcoiners are like, yeah, but you can hold the Bitcoin and that's going to go up, and you got all these different strategies. That's great. If more forward looking, probably smaller, more agile, IPPs are thinking that way, but it's really just like you can get higher profit margins on your product, which is energy. And if I can lock in hosting clients without having CapEx for, significant amount of hardware, or be able to roll that because I'm buying at scale, selling at smaller increments, getting better margins, getting a return on my CapEx, which is now liquid. And then just kind of backdooring my way into locking in, if I'm creating power at 2 cents and I was selling it into the grid at, which can be variable, but let's just say average 4 cents, right? Just using fictional numbers, but now I can lock in 7 cents and I just added that much spread. That's my goal, right? That's what my shareholders want. Get more money for your product, not necessarily take a bunch of extra risk on new products. So it provides that opportunity.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think this is probably a fantastic spot to wrap this up. Blake, Danny, we can start with Blake. Do you have any final thoughts before we shut this off?
No, I'm just, I'm really excited to start rolling this thing out to the public. We've been onboarding existing Blockware clients for a week or two now, and we've gotten some great feedback. So I think it's going to be really exciting once, the public is finally able to get on board.
Yeah. And I just say, a bit of a kind of commercial message, like it's a great opportunity for large capital allocators to be liquidity providers. While mining Bitcoin, which is the inherent strategy anyways, which is a bullish one. And now it's a super cool, game-changing opportunity for, retail buyers to get access to, turnkey machines with complete transparency, virtually no lead time, and start stacking sats almost immediately. So be on the lookout for, you know, this launch. Sign up for the marketplace if you're interested. Hit us up if you want to learn. This is a journey, and us as Bitcoiners, we're all in it together. So we're excited to see where this goes.
Yeah, absolutely. For anyone listening and not watching the YouTube video, definitely go check it out. marketplace.blockwaresolutions.com. But yeah, and obviously if you are listening to the podcast, go and subscribe, like this. We've got some big guests coming up. We've got like Robert Breedlove again, Luke Broyles, a bunch of other great guests, Bitstein we just had. So definitely check it out. But Danny, Blake, thanks so much for coming on.